Hi everyone, we're here today with Roger Carr-Jones, who is the Marriage and Family Life Coordinator of Westminster Diocese. But you're also the Chair of Marriage Care, aren't you, Roger? Maybe you could tell us a bit about yourself and your work.
Well, about myself, well, I'm married, I've got five children and I've got three grandchildren, and on a good day I can remember all of their ages. But I'm very fortunate that I'm involved with marriage care both as a practitioner and as the Archbishop of Westminster's nominee to sit on the board, because he's the patron. But since 2020, I've been the chair. And what attracts me about that is the fact that it is that marriage care is celebrating its 80th anniversary this year. It begins and is created in the aftermath of the Second World War. As a consequence of that conflict, there was a significant breakdown in marriages. So it begins initially as what we now call a relationship counselling organisation, but out of that then begins to grow the model of marriage preparation, which of course has changed over the decades, so we don't tell people how to open a bank account. Actually, over the last 60, 70 years, there has been a significant change in understanding of how relationships work. So we've moved from that functional model, the man does this, the woman does that, to understand that it's relational. And we'll see that also reflected in changes in church teaching, particularly since the Second Vatican Council. I tend to write at work what I call happy notes. So I like using analogies and I like using metaphors. So in this instance, I'm thinking about the pantry of married love. But before exploring that, I think it's important that we think about that clergy and religious are instructed to go on a retreat at least once a year. And part of that is though that their relationship with God is rekindled because of all the distractions that ministry brings. But in addition to that, they also have a relationship to the people that they serve. Now, let's think about it. In our pantry of married love, well, there's a special spice rack, and there are three condiments that I think are quite appropriate. So it's that point about being a couple is about being and not doing, okay? So let's think about those things. What are the three things that I would consider important? Reconnection, reconciliation, and renewal. Those are three ingredients that we might want to think about in our couple landscape. So reconnection. Think about it. As a couple, we have many calls upon our time. We'll have work, we have children, and we may have other caring responsibilities, but lots of things that draw us away. This is an opportunity to reconnect as a couple. I often talk about a date night. And a date night isn't about going out to the theatre or perhaps going for a lovely meal. It's about, do we have quality time within our week to be a couple? Think back to when you first met your fiancé. The excitement that you would have in a date night. It was about being with that other person. And I think that's something that we can think about. It's the point about in a relationship, we need to be intentional, not to allow drift. And when we're intentional, we enjoy the tastes and flavours of the relationship. So reconciliation, well, I think healing herbs are important in our store cupboard. We need to cure the stresses and the strains in the relationship. And that's why time in the wilderness matters, because the wilderness is never empty. And you have to notice, and it's noticing again in our relationship. What do I notice about my spouse? And then that lovely thing about renewal. It's about making love visible again. And that, I think, is where prayer comes into the dynamic. And I have to say, prayer for many people is more embarrassing than talking about sex, because actually it's a very intimate place and people don't always feel comfortable. But prayer is basically being present to God and present to one another. So it's not about words. Prayer is encounter.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Redefining the date night. That's definitely one for us all to remember, I think. And that quality time is, it's so true. You look forward to it, not for where you're going for the meal or what film you might be going to see, but because you'll be with that person and interacting with them. So I think that's definitely something we can take away from what you've just given us. Thank you. And this is all, you know, you might call at the start of relationships, people have various terms for it, you know, the honeymoon phase. I know that you have a wonderful term for describing it, which you told me before, which is the Prosecco phase. I think that's wonderful as well. But once we move past that honeymoon phase, once we are beyond the Prosecco phase, we might start to encounter challenges in relationships. And perhaps that's also where, you know, the start of that breakdown of communication, for example, might begin. So I wondered if you have any more ingredients in your cupboard for couples who are perhaps experiencing some challenges in their relationship and who might not have those communication tools, as you said. You know, for example, talking about prayer, we might not be used to it. But do you have any thoughts for couples who perhaps are going through a struggle, or if there's something that they could perhaps do?
Okay, so Steph, if you think about it, if you're lost somewhere in the landscape, the very first thing you need to do is to stop. Now, I know from my work with marriage care, for example, that couples will often leave it at least 7 years before they get professional support. That's really quite shocking, that we can go through a period of extended disillusionment. So I think that's a helpful phrase for your listeners to understand, that in a normal relationship, disillusionment is a phase. But when we work through disillusionment, we strengthen our relationship. So I think often, as a couple who might be struggling, is to begin to think about, well, things like communication, problem solving, conflict resolution are the skeleton of the relationship. It's on that that everything then hangs. So we can't talk about things like forgiveness, we can't talk about prayer, we can't talk about what I would describe as bonders within a relationship. Seeking enrichment for our relationship, though, really does matter. From the work that I do with marriage care, I'm very conscious that I would say a good 98% of the couples who come for marriage preparation have no real understanding of how relationships work. Now, they're not a static model, but it gives a huge insight. Why do I act in a particular way? Why do I behave in that way to you, even though I love you? So within a relationship as well, we need to be able to have self-reflection before we can have couple reflection. So if I don't love myself because I think I'm horrible, I'm going to struggle to love my spouse because I don't have the language and the grammar.
Wow, that's really powerful, actually, that self-other knowledge and how that dynamic works in a relationship. Now, I was wondering if you have, I know you're a deacon as well, so I was wondering if you have any particular story from scripture, the only rule with my question here is that you're not allowed to say the Holy Family as an example. So other than the Holy Family, do you have a story or an example from scripture which for you really illustrates this good relationship that you were just talking about?
In the Old Testament, you have the marriage of Sarah. But within that, there's a point about, from a scriptural story, is the point is that as a couple, We have a horizontal relationship, the man and the woman. But we also have a vertical relationship to God. The closer we are to God, the closer we are as a couple. So we could choose any story from Scripture, but I particularly like the simplest one, which is the wedding feast at Cana. Because if we think about Cana, with the running out of the wine, well, that would have been an example that God wasn't blessing this union. So not only is it a sign and a miracle, but he actually creates more wine than you could possibly need in a lifetime. And I think for me, that's the key story, that that bucket, that well of wine is always available to us as a couple. And when we recognize that Christ is present in our mix, that can change the narrative. But it's not always easy. People find it difficult to articulate and share their faith because it makes them vulnerable.
Absolutely. And I also like that story of the wedding at Cana. Of course, it's one that a lot of people even beyond the church know because of the miracle of turning water into wine, isn't it? It's one of the most well-known stories. But I think that your take on it is one I have never heard before. It's really beautiful. So I think that's also something we can definitely reflect on, especially married couples or perhaps couples who are preparing for marriage. I'm particularly interested in this subject as I myself will be getting married next year. So I'm taking many notes from everything that you're saying.
So at this moment, what wine would best describe where you are in your relationship? You can choose an Italian.
Oh, gosh.
Is there a light, something light?
I would say where we are in our relationship is probably, yes, I would say the wine, you know, the wine that's sort of just after the harvest. It's in Italian, they say the new wine. Mm-hmm. So it's wine that's meant to be drunk immediately, but it's actually meant to be tasted and appreciated. It's not, you know, wine that you sort of it's not cooking wine, as we might refer to wine that's not necessarily the best for drinking. It's actually very delicious because the grapes, while it's new wine, of course, those are grapes which have had to mature and be harvested, and there's a whole process behind it of turning it into the wine. So just because it's new wine doesn't mean that a lot of work hasn't gone into producing that product.
But that's a lovely description of actually the dynamics that are occurring within a relationship in its early stages. Pope Benedict talks about the wine at Cana, but he reminds people that actually there's another wine that's going to be offered much later, which is more complex and more nuanced. I think of the wines of Puglia. Mm. But you notice suddenly with a slightly more expensive or vintage wine, the moment you taste it, it's complex. And I think that's what marriage offers. We don't lose that fresh wine that we can experience on a daily basis. But in looking back and suddenly noticing, yes, there's new flavours that have come into our relationship as we have grown more closely together.
Well, I like the turn that this conversation has taken towards wine. We started with Prosecco and we're moving towards a more complex wine. It sounds like a delicious dinner to me. But as we move towards the end of our conversation, I wondered if you might have any words of wisdom. I have no doubt that your words will be wise, but words of encouragement, perhaps, would you give to couples who are really trying to implement what you've been talking about today?
I think it's important to keep things simple. Well, do you know, in prayer, the simplest prayer as a couple that you can do is to hold your hands. A simple prayer of gratitude for one another. Because when we are physically close to one another, we are actually in union with one another. What we need to look at is, are there things at this moment that are actually eroding our couple relationship? You know, is our stock of love a little bit out of date? Because we should never make assumptions about love, because it can go stale and lose its flavour. We need to be intentional in our relationship. Think back again to when you first met your future spouse. That's the moment you want to enjoy in a new and complex way. And then finally, it's what do I need to give within our relationship? Am I being generous with my time, even when I'm busy? Are the words I use generous? And do we affirm one another daily? And the most important thing is about forgiveness. And if we struggle with forgiveness, we can remember that it's actually spelt for gifting. It's the choice that I make, but in forgiving, we create a space for something that is new.
Wow, Roger, I feel very privileged to have had this conversation with you today. I think it's been something that we can really reflect on. I'll certainly be re-listening to all of what you've said. Thank you very, very much for coming to see us today and for coming to share your wisdom with us on this topic. Thank you for the work that you do to support couples. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.